what Jesus says. But before we do communion, I just want to take a quick moment because I know I saw that there wasn't any visitors' hands today. And if you're here, maybe you weren't here, you didn't raise your hand, and you are visiting, we're just super glad that you've joined us. But, you know, oftentimes we hear about communion or you go to church and they say, oh yeah, that's where they give you the wine and the bread or the grape juice and the bread or whatever it might be. And that's cool, we take that and we do that together. And that's something that Christians do. We understand that there's a tradition of communion. We understand that, yeah, it's one of those things Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. So he's telling his disciples, keep doing it. But we don't understand the significance of what communion really is. And today, before we get into what we want to talk about, I want to just read to you and with you. So if you've got your Bibles, just go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. And I just want to just kind of show you some quick things just before we get into it, because I don't want to just do this out of tradition's sake. There's so much more to communion than tradition. There's so much more to break bread together as Christians and as brothers and sisters than just because the church does that or because Jesus told us to. So the book of 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, Paul the Apostle is actually talking about the communion, or the Last Supper, you could call it, or the Lord's Supper, as we see it in the Gospels. And Paul's talking to the church, and the church is going through all sorts of problems at this time. I mean, thank God that we have illustrations in the Bible that there are imperfect churches out there, and that kind of gives us a little bit of a pat on the back to say, hey, you know what, it's okay, we make mistakes, we do things wrong, we don't get things right all the time, it's all right, because here in the Bible we read that the church itself is not perfect. As a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle is talking about the wine that they used to serve, that they serve for communion. He's saying, man, you guys got a problem because you're bringing the wine and you're getting drunk on the communion wine before church has even started. I mean, think about that for a moment. The church, it's like a couple weeks ago, we handed out Mountain Dews that were in a green bottle. And Sia and Leah, the twins, I think it was Sia that had the thing. I looked at her and I was like, what are you drinking? Because I didn't see the label. I thought she was drinking a Heine. I'm like, can you imagine everybody getting drunk right before church on the communion wine? That's why we do grape juice in San Bernardino. So, but here Paul the Apostle says this, and I'm just going to read to you a couple of verses. In verse number 23 of chapter 11, he says these things. He says this, I received from the Lord that which I've also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. And he's going to talk about the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's Supper that you and I know about. And he says, and when he had given thanks, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But when he had given thanks, think about that. Here we are on the day after Thanksgiving. It's not just about, oh, well, I gave thanks yesterday. I talked about what I was thankful yesterday. You see, the Lord's Supper was not something, they didn't have Thanksgiving in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, but other countries around the world don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Did anybody know that? You're like, what? They don't? No, it's an American holiday. So Thanksgiving's not just about the fourth Friday or the fourth Thursday of November. Here it says, when they had given thanks, they gave thanks to God. And that's what our series was all about. And he says this, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, take, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so Jesus literally takes that bread and he breaks it in half and he says, this is a symbolic reference. This is an illustration of what my body is going to happen, because as he's doing this with his disciples, he hasn't yet gone to the cross. But you and I, now we've seen the message of salvation. And now we see as Jesus broke that bread, it says, this is my body that is broken for you. He was bruised for our iniquities, chastised. The chastisement of our sins was upon him, the Bible says in Isaiah. You see, Jesus was literally beaten and bruised and broken, not just hung on a cross, but beaten open. And he says, this is my body that was broken for you. Listen to this. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So communion is not just, oh, well, the church, they gather together and they have that little tiny cup and there's some grape juice in there and there's like that little, it's not quite bread, it's not quite styrofoam, it's like styro bread or something like that. And, you know, that's the bread and that's just what we do. I grew up that. He says, Jesus says these words, he says, do this in remembrance of me. The whole purpose of thankful is for you and I to remember what God has done. To not forget. That's why I say it's not just about Thanksgiving Day. That's why it's so awesome that we get to have communion on Wednesday and get to have communion again on Friday. Why? Because it's not something that we do once a month or on special occasions. Jesus says, when you do this in remembrance to remember what I've done. It's an opportunity for us to step outside of our lives, our busy lives and what's going on, and to remember his body that was broken for us. And he goes on and he says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. He says, every time you drink this, he says, this wine or this grape juice, it's not literally my blood. It doesn't turn into it. It doesn't become this magical potion drink. But he says, this cup, it's a representation. It's something, it's a monument for you and I to remember what has been done, that was spilled. The Bible tells us when Jesus hung on the cross, that when he bowed his head and he said, it is finished, and he gave and he surrendered his soul unto God, the soldiers weren't sure, and the earth shook, and they broke the legs of the thieves on each side of Jesus on the cross, and they came to Jesus, and in order to fulfill prophecy, they didn't break his legs. They didn't know that, but a centurion pierced his side. The Bible says that blood and water flowed. Blood and water. Jesus literally bled out to death. Nothing left inside of his body for you and I. His blood was spilled, poured out, literally speaking, not just figuratively, literally speaking, so that you and I could have a new covenant, a new relationship, a new contract between God and man. What is God's responsibility and what is man's responsibility? Jesus came, he says, for a new life. He says, when you take this, you do this in remembrance of me. As often as you drink this, remember that my blood was spilled so that you have a new covenant, a new relationship, a new position with God. And oftentimes we stop right there. Well, that's communion. We remember the body, we remember the blood. Let's do that. Let's break open the little wafer. Let's get that going. But before that, I want you to look at the next verses. Because it says this very important thing. It says, verse number 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you, speaking to you and I, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Why? Because we're remembering him. Every time we're doing this, we're remembering the sacrifice of what Jesus has done. And so every time we do this, we're bringing back into our remembrance what has been done. So we're proclaiming through our life, through our action, through going through this monument or this memorial of communion, what the price has been paid. And now in verse number 27, Paul says this. He says, therefore, very, very important, because therefore, consequently, because of what I just said, you could say it like this, he says. Because, therefore, whoever eats of this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, check this out, unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Well, think about that for a moment. Whoever drinks this in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So you may say, man, Pastor Luke, I've never had communion other than maybe tonight. You know, this is I've just been coming on Fridays or, you know, whatever it might be. I didn't check out Wednesday night's communion service, so I haven't heard this before. I just thought you drank the grape juice and you ate a piece of bread and that's what you did. But here he says, if you do this in an unworthy manner, you're literally guilty as the Roman soldiers that nailed him to the cross. There you and I are in an unworthy manner nailing Jesus to the cross for our sins. You see, because we were guilty of condemning Jesus to Christ. Peter, as he jumped up in the book of Acts to preach the sermon about Jesus, he says, I preach Jesus Christ whom you crucified. But you see, something happened. Jesus died for us, the body of Christ, the Christians, and therefore we were washed. Our guilt, our shame was removed. But if we come before God and in an unworthy manner, it's like we are in the world and not in Christ. And we are literally crucifying him again in our minds. There's something very important to be said here. So he goes on and he says this words. He says, so let a man examine himself. Look at yourself. Look into your heart. Look into your life. Look into your position with God, your walk with God. Where is it that you stand in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Because he says, before you take communion, you need to look into your heart and look into your life and examine. Am I in a good spot with God? Am I in the right place with God? Am I worthy of communion? You say, man, well, Pastor Luke, how do I become worthy? We'll talk about that. So he says, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Look at this again, verse number 29. He says, but he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner. Again, two times in three verses, Paul's saying something. He's saying, guys, communion is not for everybody. Communion, I teach this in my church history class. Communion is not an open invitation to the world. Did you know that in the early church, the first couple hundred years, when the church was formed right after Jesus died, did you know that the church was literally persecuted, or people had persecutions against their church. You know why? Because they thought they were cannibals. They thought they were cannibals. How could Christians be cannibals? Because they were in hiding. It wasn't an open celebration. And they took communion together in private. And you and I know this, that privacy or secrecy breeds distrust. When you're in a conversation and somebody's whispering and they're not including you, you automatically assume that they're talking about you. And so here the church, from the outside perspective of the world, is meeting in a secret place. They're not out in the open. They're not preaching to everybody. They've gone, they've retreated secretly, and now they're talking about drinking blood and eating flesh. So everybody begins to assume, well, these Christians, they must be cannibals. Why? Because communion is not an open invitation to the world. It's an invitation to the disciples, to the followers of Jesus. You see, what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians is the words of Jesus that we see in the Gospels of the Lord's Supper. This wasn't Jesus feeding the 5,000 on the hillside. This wasn't Jesus on teaching the Beatitudes on a Sermon on the Mount. This was Jesus and his 12 disciples alone in a room, him speaking to his inner circle, saying, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. So you see, communion is something for the body of Christ, for Christians to take a hold of, to partake, or to do it together as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So what does it mean to do this in an unworthy? It means to be outside of the body of Christ and coming in, expecting communion to do something for you. But you can't, because this is not an open invitation. This is something that is a privilege for the members of the body of Christ, Christians, who are in right standing with God, to partake together, to do so in remembrance, so that we can reflect on what Jesus Christ has done, so that we can literally proclaim his death and the remission of our sins until he returns. So he says, whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks, listen to this, judgment to himself, not discerning. That word discerning is not something that we speak about oftentimes. Discerning literally means understanding. Not understanding the Lord's body, not understanding the blood, not understanding the broken body, not understanding the price that was paid. Oh, I thought this was just grape juice and bread. No, so much more. Look what he goes on and he says this. For this reason, listen to this. This is huge, guys. For this reason, many are weak and are sick among you, and many sleep. Some translations say die. For this reason, they bring judgment to themselves. They think they're in right standing with God, and they proclaim the Lord's death, not understanding what they're doing. And because of that, they find themselves weak in their lives. They find themselves sick in their health. They find themselves in death through sin, through physical death, whatever it might be. Why? Because they're in wrong standing or in the wrong position with God, yet they think they're okay. And so they take this thing that was only an invitation to Jesus' disciples, and Jesus says, no, this is for my disciples, for my followers. So today, as we take communion, I want to give you the opportunity today to ensure that you're okay with God. Because here's the reality. We're going to do this at our tables, and we're going to do this with each other. That's why they're there. The communion cups are there at your table in front, and we're going to do this together. But it would be better for you to not partake or not participate if you know you're in the wrong standing with God and you don't want to do anything about that, than it would be for you to take of it just because everybody else is watching you. I love you enough, I respect you enough, I honor you enough to tell you the truth. Don't take communion tonight if you know you're not in the right place with God and you don't want to do anything about it. Don't do it. It's all right. Just hang out. Just enjoy the conversation that we're going to have today. And you know what? Meet the people next to you. And that's cool. You do your thing. But today, if you're in this place and you say, you know what, man, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm in the right place with God. I'm not sure if I'm in the right position with God. Hey, listen, let's do something to change that. Let's do something to examine that. Let's do something that gets you in the right position with God, because it's not some abracadabra. You don't have to walk 20 miles or go on a pilgrimage or light 550 candles to do that. All you need to do is get your heart in alignment with God and your life in alignment with God. So today we ask this question. It's a great way to indicate. He says, let a man examine himself. Examine this. This is a great indicator of your life. If you were to die, just like that, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Right now, if you didn't have a moment to in your last breath to repent for everything you've done or whatever it might be, if you didn't know and all of a sudden, boom, you died, Would your next breath be in heaven or hell? It's a great way to indicate. It's a great way to examine your position. You say, oh man, you know, I hope so. I think so. Pastor Luke, I've always thought I was going to go to heaven. Pastor Luke, my parents told me I was a Christian, so that means I'm going to go to heaven because of that, right? Or, you know, I went to Sunday school classes as a kid. I was in my youth group. I even went to a Harvest Crusade, and, I listened to 89.7 or 90.1. So doesn't that mean that I'm in the right position with God? Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you hope, think, want, wish? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that because your parents took you to church? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you went to Sunday school classes? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you listen to KSGN or Air One or K-Wave or whatever else the other ones are, that you're going to go to heaven. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that? That doesn't mean that you're in right standing with God because you attend church. Oh, what? Everybody who goes to church, clearly, that's not the case. We know that. Why? Church is full of imperfect people. I'll admit that I'm one of them. It's not about your attendance of church. It's not about what your parents told you. It's not about your hopeful thinking or your wishful thinking. It's about giving God all of your heart. It's about giving God all of your life. You know, we oftentimes say, man, well, I'm a good person, good people. Man, God looks down at me and my good deeds and he says, hey, man, that's good. I'm glad that you did that. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you're a good person? Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you give to Product Red or you wear Tom's shoes or you give to the Red Cross or whatever it might be that you're going to get into heaven? Nowhere does it say that. You know what the Bible tells us over and over and over again in the New Testament? That we are not saved by works alone. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that our good deeds, according to God, are like filthy rags. You see, nothing you and I could ever do would ever make us good enough. It's not about how good we are. Nothing you can do, what it boils down to, is nothing you and I can do on our own would ever make us good enough. How do I get worthy with God? I can't make myself worthy. Absolutely. Can't do it. But Jesus says these words. He says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him. You see, you and I, we're not made worthy because of our good deeds. We're not made worthy because of our thoughts. We're not made worthy because of our position or the GPS location of our rear ends on a Sunday morning or a Friday night. We're not made worthy because we do good things or because we say or we give ourselves a title. We are made worthy because Jesus Christ has made us worthy and we are finding ourselves in Christ. It's called being born again. Jesus says in John the 3rd chapter, as he's talking to a religious leader, you must be born again. It's not what you're thinking. It's not what Hollywood popular culture has made it out. To be born again means this. This is what it all boils down to right here. How do I be worthy? To give God your heart, to give God your life. It's an all or nothing relationship. It's not a game. It's not, let me do this and let me follow this rule. Let me try to do this or try to do that. It's not about that. It's about a surrendering of your life, your heart to Jesus Christ. Let me prove it to you. In the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Jesus is speaking to his churches. And one of the churches, he says, listen, I know your works. And he says, I'm going to come back, Jesus says. And he says, when I come back, I better find you hot or I better find you cold. He says, because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. Crazy statement. And what Jesus is saying today, that lukewarm Christians are not real Christians at all, and they're going to get rejected and ejected from the kingdom of God. Today, I don't want that to be you. So today, here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, we're going to count to three. And I'm going to make it super easy tonight. We're not going to do anything different, or we're not going to do anything the way we normally do. I'm going to count to three in just a moment. I'm going to ask you, if that's you in this place, you say, man, I know that I'm not in a right place with God. It's cool. No big deal, man. Today's the day. I'm going to count to three, and when I do, I'm going to go one, two, and the count of three, I'm going to go three. That's you. I'm just going to ask you to smack your hand, or raise your hand. I'm going to smack my hand. You raise your hand. What you're doing by the raising your hand is, you know what, Pastor Luke, man? You're saying, Pastor Luke, I want to get right with God. I want to be worthy today. I want to do this, and I want to do this in a right position with God. And what we'll do is I'll see your hand. I'll acknowledge it. What you're saying is, you know what, man? I want to give my heart. I want to give my life to God like Jesus said. I'm a man. I'll see it. I'll acknowledge it. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you. I'm a man, I'll see it, I'll acknowledge you, put your hand right back down. And we're going to pray with you right in your seats. Together, tonight, we'll all say a prayer together. You can find yourself in a right position with God. It's not about abracadabra, magical prayer. Oh, I said the formula. It's about surrendering your heart, surrendering your life. Man, God, I can't do it. It's all about you. So who should raise your hands? If you've never given him your heart today, come on. This is the time, this is the moment on this thankful service. The last Friday of shift of 2014. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you did this, like you prayed the prayer once or at a Harvest Crusade or something like that in youth group. maybe never really followed through with it. Hey, if that's you in this place, in just a moment, just pop your hand up. I'll see it. I'll acknowledge it. We're going to pray together in your seats. Couldn't be easier than right now, today. Finally, who should raise your hand if you've been living lukewarm? You've been playing games, been running from God instead of to God. Listen, if that's you in this place, been doing your own thing instead of God's thing, a little bit for God, not all the way against him, you know, kind of riding the fence. If that's you in this place, in just a moment, just pop your hand up. I'll see it. What you're doing, you're saying, hey, man, I want to give Jesus my heart. Then we're going to follow it up with a prayer ticket today, all in our seats together. And you will know, if you pray from your heart, you're in a right position with God. Today I want that to be your opportunity so that we can all in this room join together in communion and remember the price that was paid for us through Jesus Christ. But it starts today with examining yourself like the words of Paul. Where do you stand with God? So all across this auditorium, guys, wherever you're at, it doesn't matter. Listen, guys, I don't care if you've been here for 10 years in shift or if tonight's your first day. I don't care. It does not matter. What's more important is your eternal life with God. So don't skip out of this for posterity's sake. Well, somebody's going to see me. Hey, it does not matter. This is between you and God and you and God alone. So wherever you're at, if that's you in this place, when I count to three, pop your hand up. I'll see it. We'll go forward for God today. And you'll know in your heart that you're partaking or having communion together with brothers and sisters in Christ in a worthy manner. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Let me see those hands in this place today. All right, one, two, three. I see you guys back there. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? All right, I got you. Four wise people. Anybody else? Anybody? Well, hey, cool. Praise God for four wise people. So here's what we're going to do. Let's all do this. I want you all to repeat this prayer after me. Listen, if you didn't raise your hand, it's still not too late. You just need to pray this prayer. It's not abracadabra. Let me explain. This is not a magical spell. You're not praying the formula that gets you into heaven. This is a prayer from your heart. God listens to the prayers of our hearts, not the prayers of our lips. So when you pray this, it's about believing what you're saying. It's about believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, as the Bible says in the book of Romans. And today, that's what we're going to do. So I want everybody, if you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want everybody in this room to pray this prayer with me out loud so that we are all praying it together. And just repeat these words after me and repeat them from your heart, not just from your head. Let's go before God. Let's say, Dear Father, we come before you today. And we acknowledge, let's say, I acknowledge my need for a Savior. I acknowledge I need something more than what I am capable of. I acknowledge that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the answer to all of my problems. And I confess today that He is the Lord and Savior of my life. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come and live in my heart, operate in my life, be the leader of everything in my life. I surrender my heart, my life to you. I give it to you. The control is in your hands. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He was nailed to a cross. And I believe after 3 days He rose from the dead. I believe today that I am a Christian. I am saved. I am leaving hell behind. Going to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey guys, great decision. I'm telling you, love it. Now what we're going to do with the next couple of minutes, we don't have a lot of time. We're going to do something. We're going to do communion together. We're going to do it a little bit differently. Let me just give you the pastor's insight of how communion usually goes. Here's how communion goes. I talk about the bread, and then I give you a little bit of thought about the body that's broken for you. And then I talk about the blood, and I give you a little bit of a thought about the blood, and then we drink and we eat. Today, you're going to do that. So today, if you've got your Bibles, go with me one more time to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, once again, and we'll put up verse number 24. And he says, when he had given thanks, this is our thankful service, the last opportunity in shift of 2014 to give thanks. It says when Jesus had given thanks, he took the bread and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now you'll notice that we have tables tonight because I want you guys to talk about the body. I want you guys to talk about this. So here's what we're going to do. If you guys would just turn your chairs and get into your tables, I want you to take the next 30 seconds of this time and get to know everybody's name. You don't have to memorize their name, but just say, "Hey, my name is," not Slim Shady. I probably broke every church rule by just referencing Eminem, right? Get to know each other. Hey, what's your name? Where are you from? Whatever it might be. If you guys are sitting at a row or something like that, there's some tables on this side over here that have got some empty chairs. If you don't have a table that you belong to or that you're a part of, there's some chairs over here. There's some open spots over here. All right, so as you do that, in the middle of your tables is a basket. In the basket is the little elements. Grab one of those elements, one for each person. It's grape juice. You can't get drunk on it. So it doesn't matter how many you take. Just one's all you need. All right, so here it says, he says, when he took it, he'd given thanks. Breaking it, he gave thanks, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body that is broken for you." Before we do this, I don't want you to eat that little piece of bread yet. All right, that little wafer, whatever it is. I don't know what that's made out of. I assume it's bread. Before we do that, I want you guys to take a couple of minutes and just talk around your table. You don't have to get deep. Remember, it's not. Don't be afraid of being cliche, all right? The thing that we have most to be thankful for is Jesus Christ. But I've got a little question or a little thought topic I want you guys to discuss for the next couple of minutes. Jesus says that his body was broken for us. What is that? What about that statement moves you? What is that like that affects you? What does that mean in your life that his body was broken for you? So what does that mean after today? Jesus' body was broken for me. What does that mean? And how do I apply that to me? That's what that means. How does that move you? And what does that mean to you? And I just want you to talk about it. You don't have to get deep. You might not know anything about that. But just talk to each other. Get to know each other. Well, my name's Luke, and this is what it means to me. And take the next couple of minutes. We'll take 5 minutes and talk about that, and then we'll come together and we'll have communion together, all right? So take the next couple of minutes and talk about what that statement means to you. All right. As you're finishing up your thoughts, let's go ahead and peel that wafer back. Or peel that, what is that, cellophane, clear, plastic, whatever it might be. Peel that back. Grab the wafer. And let's partake of this together. And let's say a prayer. So finish your thoughts and let's pray together. All right, are you ready? Just hold that wafer in your hand. And like Jesus says, he broke this. So this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As we talked about how that statement moves us, what that means to us, let's remember the price that was paid for us through the body of Jesus Christ being broken. And let me just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, first and foremost, for sending your Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on a cross. Lord, we thank you that his heart was broken, his body was broken, so that thus us with a broken heart could go through what Jesus has gone through, and that Jesus could literally come, Lord, that you can come through the comfort of the Holy Spirit and say, I've been there. My body's been broken too. I've experienced betrayal. I've experienced a broken heart. I've experienced pain. And Lord, as we do this in remembrance of you, Father, we glorify you. We lift up Jesus and we say, thank you. Lord, thank you. Our hearts cry out for Jesus, whose body was broken for us so that we could live life today. In Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen. All right, go ahead and take that little wafer. All right, now in the same manner, it says, verse number 25, in the same manner he took the cup and he said, this cup represents the new covenant in my blood. Now I love how he says, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus says that this cup, this grape juice, this wine as they were drinking, it wasn't physically the blood of Jesus Christ. He says this representation, it represents, is the new covenant. It shows us the new covenant, the new contract, the new position that you and I have through with God through Jesus Christ. He says every time you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. That the thought for this one is that you and I have a new contract, a new covenant. Let's go ahead and put that thought up. The new covenant, there's a new agreement between you and God, between you and God through Jesus Christ. So the question is, what about that statement, the new covenant, is significant to you? And go around your tables, you can just talk about that. What about this cup is the new covenant in my blood. What about that statement is significant to you? And then we'll come back in a couple of minutes and we'll have communion again once again.